Let's open with prayer. Jesus, may the words that you have given me this morning not be my words, but may they be your words. May the thoughts and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Through it all, Jesus, you are faithful. In your precious and holy name, amen. That was a really appropriate song, the last song that we just sung. Through it all, Jesus, through it all. I dealt with something this week that challenged me in a lot of ways. To bring common sense facts of the Bible and present them in a way to somebody who I was ministering to at my work, and believing that God would use revelation to open the person's eyes. So when we read the Bible and when we go through things, we don't deal so much with just what's on the page, but we allow the Holy Spirit to open us up to what it is that he's doing. There's a famous Indian story about six blind men who were arguing over an elephant and what it must look like. The story goes that they were led to an elephant in order to touch it, for they could see it with their hands. When they got back to their village, the argument began about what it looked like. "Oh, brothers," the first man cried, "it is sure as I am wise that the elephant is a great mud wall baked hard in the sun." "Now, brothers," the second man exclaimed with a cry of dawning recognition, "I can tell you what shape the elephant is. He is exactly like a spear." The others smiled in disbelief. "Why, dear brothers, do you not see," said the third man, "this elephant is very much like a rope." "Ha! I thought as much," the fourth man declared excitedly. "This elephant resembles a serpent." The others snorted with contempt. "Good gracious, brothers," the fifth man cried out, "even a blind man can see what shape the elephant resembles the most. Why, he's like a mighty fan." At last, it was the turn of the sixth oldest and wisest, and he proclaimed, "This sturdy pillar, brothers, feels exactly like the trunk of a great palm tree." Each person was convinced that their understanding of the elephant was correct. Unfortunately, even though they all had little bits and pieces, they were mostly wrong. When we look at God, when we walk with him, when we explore him, and when we talk about him, we say, "God is love," or "God is powerful," or "God is righteous," or "God is merciful or gracious." And it's the same as the elephant. All are particularly true, but they do not encompass the Lord God, for none can know him as a whole. So our experience of God dictates our reality of him, per se. So when we go through things in life, when we walk through trials, when we walk through tribulations and things like that, oftentimes our perspective of God changes slightly, and we become, as someone who is trying to determine what God is, as in like feeling the elephant, for we're all blind, and it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can see anything at all. So when we enter into tests, when we enter into trials, when we enter into things, what is God doing? Well, he's bringing us back to the elephant. He's bringing us to a place where we can explore a new side of God. And when we discover something new about him, how wonderful it is, and that consumes our thoughts of him, and it brings in us a new life. The problem is, many times when we do face a hardship, when we face a trial, when we face something that we go to, when God wants to show us a new part of himself, it's not often pleasant, and we want to run away from it. God is telling us, don't run, but walk through it with me. The New Testament is full of these types of examples. Paul, in Romans 5:3, talks about the glories of our tribulations and knowing that this glory will produce a perseverance which ultimately brings about us a hope. And while we can't see it at the time, when we look back, we can oftentimes see what it was that God was doing. Paul endured quite a bit in his life. He was in prison. He was beaten a number of times, faced death. He was tried to be stoned to death. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He faced robbers. Gentiles and his own people plotted to kill him. He was betrayed by false believers. He suffered from thirst and hunger. He went without sleep. His whole life was spent on the road, and not much of it was spent with family or just some close friends. And through it all, he gives glory to God. Through every single one of these things, he sees God in a new light, and he trusts God, and his faith is increased, and his faith is grown in God. So as he approaches God, and God says, I'm sorry, this is what we must go through so that you can discover a new part of me, so that you can discover something new about me. It's not pleasant, but it is something that we must go through. I don't have the clicker. Sorry. There we go. As I was studying the elephant this week and allowing God to change some of my interpretations about him, James came to mind, and starting in verse 2, this is out of the Amplified. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance or patience have its perfect result, and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in faith, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or a circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and then it will be given to him. But he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like the billowing surge of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Verse 2 is kind of a famous verse. We've all heard that one before. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And as I was contemplating that this week, it's not that he's talking about happiness, because happiness is oftentimes something that comes and goes and is driven by circumstances, but the joy of the peace of a gift from God, that joy is the contentment which is based on our faith, it's based on our trust of God. So as God brings us into new revelations of himself, as he shows us new things about himself, he's asking us to do one thing. He's asking us to trust him. He's asking us to grow in our faith, to put our trust in him no matter what we go through and what we're in. And just like you would talk to somebody else if you were going through something, I mean, I would go to Lance and say, help, brother, this is what I'm going through right now. And, you know, and he would dispense advice to me. So it is that James is telling us to go to God in the same way, and he will not rebuke us for coming to him and saying, I need help, Father, I need help. Please give me wisdom in seeing what this is about. Oftentimes, God answers and he says, just follow me. Just follow me through this and we'll see what's on the other side. One of the things that struck me personally as I read this is the fear that I have inside when I'm going through a trial or I'm going through a testing. And God's telling us through this faith to not fear, but to approach him and trust that he will have this in his hands. One such instance of this is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And Jesus is with his disciples here. And he says, 23 says, "When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being covered by waves. Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are going to die.' He said to them, 'Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was at once a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peacefulness. The men wondered in amazement, saying, 'What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" The first thing to look at as these men went through this was to know who Christ is, who is about to walk these men through this situation. He is God. He could have just told these guys, "Hey, let's wait an hour before we go out on the water," or, "Hey, let's take another route, let's walk, or let's, you know, find some other way." And the thing is, they cry out to him and they recognize him as Lord, and they say, "This is beyond us. We cannot do anything about this. Please save us." The Lord wakes up as if expectantly waiting for them to do this. And he says, "Why are you afraid?" You see, he doesn't rebuke them because of their little faith. He rebukes them because they're afraid. The lack of fear, or the fear that they have, is because of their lack of faith. This is something that is all throughout Scripture. The Bible talks about not being afraid over 365 different times. To fear is to not trust. They lacked the wisdom to see what it was that they needed to see about Christ. So he gave them this scenario, and I'm sure that they did everything in their power to try to paddle through this without waking him up. These guys were men of the sea. They knew how to orchestrate and work a boat. But when all was failing, they cried out to him and said, "Lord, save us." They asked for this to be taken. So the Lord speaks, and he says, "Be silent, winds and the waves," and it does. For the one thing that Jesus had to show these men in this particular situation was that he was who he said he was. He was God. So the disciples needed this perspective that they didn't have. So as the men walked around the elephant and saw these different parts of the elephant, they believed that Jesus was a miracle worker. They believed that he was the Lord. But now they needed to know that the person who spoke creation into being is the same person who commands the winds and the waves. That there was no doubt that he was exactly who he said he was. He was the Son of God. He is Christ, fully God and fully man. So as I was reading this, I'm not sure that they were joyful in it, but they did learn something, for they exclaimed at the end, "Who is this man that he commands the winds and the waves to serve and obey him?" They understood something about God that they didn't understand before. And for us, it's much easier to try and do something to get out of a situation than to trust that God is going to bring us through it. We would far rather believe that we can change a circumstance, or that someone else can give us advice about God or about what it is that we're walking through right now, than to simply believe that God is orchestrating circumstances in our life right now so that we can better understand who he is, we can better rely on him, so that we can have increased faith and security in him, so that we do not fear when the winds and the waves come. When God wants to show you what you are like apart from him, he shows you yourself. He brings you to a point of looking at yourself and seeing your utter and complete need for him. God engineers circumstances to see what we will do. Will we be the children that we want to be? We should not try to change the circumstances, but just simply follow him through it. Steadfastness or perseverance comes from growth through circumstances such as these. The understanding that God is multifaceted, that there are many levels to him, comes through experience of walking through trials and circumstances. Here's the thing. As we experience God's faithfulness, it instills in us confidence in him. Our confidence is the hope in which Paul wrote about in Romans 5. Perseverance produces hope. Hope is confidence in God in regards to everything in our current life and in our future. And there is no condition in life which is out of our capacity to rejoice in the Lord God. For if we do not rejoice in him, it brings us back to there is something that we're missing. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And I feel like that's a question that was really asked to me this week. God was asking me, "What kind of God do you say that I am?" Are you willing to ask and find out? Are you willing to walk through the circumstances and trials that I have already prepared for you to walk through? Because you see, when I view God, I view just the leg or the ear of the elephant, or I view just the tail. Or if my circumstances change in life, I can only see what my experiences are dictating to me, and that is completely incorrect. Oswald Chambers says, "God is love, but God is not loving." And what he means by that is, he goes on to say, because love encompasses what God is, and so therefore God's righteousness, his holiness, his mercy, his grace, even his judgment have to fall into the category of love. We've invented a word, loving. We've defined what that means. We've said that God must look like this, that all love looks like this. And God is showing us, no, that there are so many components to him that we don't understand. And through circumstances he brings us through, we get these understandings of God. The Holy Spirit is ultimately the person who will reveal these things to us. But if you ask God for increased faith, don't be surprised in how he shows that to you. Don't be surprised in what he takes you through to give him a new perspective on himself. What kind of God do you say I am? Ask and find out. Jesus, forgive me, my understanding of you is so limited. I only understand what you have allowed me to understand. Scripture teaches so much, but only you, Holy Spirit, open eyes and ears to hear and to see what truth really is. There is ever more increasing wisdom, knowledge that we can learn from you, we can learn about you. God, you are good. You are a good father. You give good gifts to your children. Your love never stops. Help us to understand not our understanding of Scripture and of you, but may you reveal to us the truth of yourself. That is sometimes hard, that we wrestle. All glory is yours. This is a life that we have been called into, not by our terms, but by yours, that you ask us to follow you to wherever that goes and wherever that leads. Jesus, this week you ask us to follow you. May we be faithful even when we don't understand. And may you show us a new side of yourself that we don't know already. I love you. Jesus, amen.